Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where we're going to be spending some time today with the great Jason Wojo. Now, before we turn some time over to you, Jason, I just want to preface something with, you know, my wife says to me all the time, whenever she brings up something or she says, hey, I want to go on a vacation here or I want to go to vacation over here, I'll say, well, we have to do one or the other, right? And she's like, why do you live in this or world when you can live in the and world? And Jason, I absolutely love what you do because you help business leaders, entrepreneurs really come in and step into that and world where they can both be successful in business and in life. And Jason, it's great to have you on the show.
I am so excited for this, man. And by the way, when you said and or, I was thinking pizza or tacos. And I'm like, why not both?
Right. So Jason, what brought you to this point in your career where you're like, I'm committed to helping people experience that and world where they can be successful in many areas of life?
Yeah, man. Well, I'll tell you, it started for me with a place of pain that I hope no one else has to ever experience. I had been living in an or world, and I had a marriage that, frankly, I was not as present as I should be. Mm-hmm. I did not give the attention it deserved based on, you know, not wanting to deal with the problems that it encapsulated. And the reason why that was the case is because I was pouring all of my attention into business. I had, at that point in time, I had three different businesses, and, you know, and I'll tell you, and we can get into this, but like, and I was using the justification like, hey, you know, I'm doing it for the family and everything else like that. Right. And if I'm honest, it was really, you know, for me, there's a large piece of my ego tied to that. And I ended up losing that marriage, and my wife wanted a divorce. And she said she felt like roommates, and that she'd fallen out of love with me. And I'd realized at that moment that I had inadvertently sacrificed the things that I valued most on this altar of business success. And so like, that was a real wake up. That was a huge wake up. That was the hardest thing I ever went through. And that moment really redefined how I wanted to run and structure businesses in the future. And I realized that I was destined to replace that relationship with another failure if I wasn't going to change something. And now I'm happy to say now I've been remarried for 8 years now, and I have a beautiful family now. But that was a very painful early lesson that, you know, there are things, especially in your private life and your personal life, that, you know, business, by the way, business is always going to be there, man. You're always going to have stuff to do. There's always going to be work to do. There's always going to be opportunities. But your family life is not that way, and you're going to miss those things. And I never wanted that to happen again. And that was a very painful experience for me. And I want to help other people learn to have both that life and the business. You don't have to pick one. That's a myth. That's a lie.
Yeah, I love that. And you said you kept going back to the excuse that I'm just doing this for the family. I'm just doing this for the family. But in reality, you felt like you were doing it for you.
Well, I mean, back then I would have fought you if you said you're being selfish, because I'm like, how can you say that? Like, and by the way, this is true story. I remember my ex-wife came to me, I said, hon, listen, like, this is my first year in business. Like, and I cleared six figures, successful by all these worldly standards. And she did not care. I said, listen, give me a year, give me another two or three years. Like, you'll never have to work again. I'll be able to like make all this money for us. We'll be able to do whatever we want. And she did not want any of that. She wanted time with me. She wanted, you know, she wanted a husband. And by the way, I will not say that time and my focus on business was the only problem we had, but what it did is it took my eye off the ball of really addressing the things that I know needed to be addressed. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to deal with that right now. I'm going to go work on my business. And so I would have fought you like back then, but when I really reflected on it, I realized like, man, this is a little bit about myself. Like I want to feel successful. I want to build an empire at that point in time. I want to do all these amazing things. And I was kind of using my family as a little bit of a scapegoat to give it more of a noble justification. Like, and I think some of us do that. Like, we don't mean to. Like, I know a lot of people that really do are, they're truly busting their hump for their family. But like, I think we have to look at like, what do they want? You know, do they want more of us, or do they really want the newest iPad? You know, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Well, so obviously, well, Joe, you had to face this because you were dealing with it. You're like, wait, what just happened here? I lost everything. So was the shift a process, or did you start making immediate changes? What brought about the change?
Yeah. So the first thing, like, it was after a big period of mourning and reflection and anger and all these other things, it was really, I didn't know how I would do it. I didn't know how I would do it because I still had this internal like drive. Like, and I think as entrepreneurs, we have this drive to be successful. And listen, if you do business correctly, it should be fun and it should be rewarding and fulfilling and all these amazing things. And so I really had an internal conflict. I'm like, gosh, I want this amazing life and time to enjoy my success, my business, but I also don't want to sacrifice or compromise on the business side of things. So it really did start with the mindset of like, okay, if I want both, if I want to have both the life and the business, like, how do I do that? Like, how would I actually implement that? And that's where I actually became introduced to something called Life and Air, which is now the company that I own. I started off as a member in this organization, and the organization back then was something that was essentially mostly revolving around real estate at that point in time. And I got some coaching that I saw for the first time, some of the possibilities of like how to actually, you know, create a life in a business you love. Now it was very, I guess I would say in its nascent stages, it was very undeveloped as embryonic, but you know, from that first exposure of helping me prioritize the things that are most important, now I was able to kind of reverse engineer, like, what are the things I actually tactically and strategically have to do to have both of those.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you started off with, I have to commit to wanting both of these. I have to commit to it. Like, it's being intentional. It doesn't just happen by accident, because if you just let it happen by accident, what you're saying is that you just gravitate towards that business, you know, that time in business, because you can see that immediate gratification. Because, well, Joe, you don't always see the immediate, you know, results for your efforts with your family.
Dude, that's so true. That's really a great observation. Like, you know, you can know, hey, I got this report done, or hey, I launched that program, or we dealt with those customers, but you don't see the erosion of your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your loved ones. You don't really see, you know, what the effects are of skipping the gym until you're a year down, two, three years down the road. Right. And like, and so it's a really, listen, and I get it. Like, the sirens of business, like, are calling to us. Like, I get it, but you've really got to pull yourself back and realize, like, what at the end of the day is most important to me, and not be swayed by, you know, what culture I think sometimes it tends to reward more. You know, no one is really getting a Dad of the Year award, but we have a Forbes, you know, 500 list and these kinds of things. And like, so I think we just got to kind of run our own race. And part of that, by the way, is determining what exactly is most important to you. And you do have to know that, because otherwise, if you don't know that and you're good at business and you like business, well, you're just going to work.
Well, and the reality is, if you were to ask any of us entrepreneurs, business leaders, and say, what's most important to you, everyone would write their family somewhere near the top, right? Yeah. But then if you were to ask the effort, and it's hard. I mean, this is a little bit of a painful podcast for me today, because just yesterday, Wojo, my 14-year-old son, so my kids are into golfing. You know, my I have twin 14-year-old boys and a 15-year-old son. They love golfing. And you know, golfing can be expensive, but I pay for them to go golfing every day, right? And then yesterday, my son Chandler goes, Dad, when are you going to go golfing with us? And I'm like, dude, look, I pay for you to go every day. You go with your brothers, I pay for it. And he's like, I know, but like, when can you come?
Right.
You know, and I was like,
Right.
I'm like, look, I'm working. I got to pay for you to go golfing every day. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking,
right,
look, I'm providing you with this experience. And in his mind, he's probably like, well, then instead of golfing every day, I'd rather do it once a week if you came, you know? And yeah, that yesterday, that was a hard, that one hit me pretty hard. But it's your point. You have to then be intentional about, okay, I'm going to make this a priority. So wait, so how did you even find Life and Air?
So I had been super lucky to run into the founder at a real estate investing auction. And then just, we started a conversation and it led, one thing led to another. And at that point, the company was in its infancy. You know, I don't even know if it was officially called Life and Air, to be frank with you, back then. And it kind of developed into that. But one of the things that you just said, man, that I really want to kind of highlight is, like, you know, we have this with, when your son's talking about playing golf with you, those moments will be gone. And at some point it will be the last time your son will ask you to go golfing, or you'll have that right chance. Or, and so I look at those quite seriously, like, you know, and I, by the way, this is not to say that I live in an, like a utopian business world, and there's courses, things that sometimes can't get put off. But I'm really, whenever I experience those similar to yourself, like, I really try to ask myself, like, you know, what would I regret more, like, not doing this or being a day behind with whatever it is that I have on my plate that specific week or whatever. And so, like, I think the struggle that you outlined, though, is one that almost every business owner can relate to.
Right.
And it's, so, it, and they don't go away, by the way. I'll also tell you this, it does not go away, because the more successful you get, oftentimes the more opportunities come your way and the more things you have to say no to in order to prioritize the things that are most important. So it, like, it almost becomes harder. I don't want to discourage anybody, but, like, at least from the opportunities perspective, now that doesn't mean that you get better at prioritizing the things. And here's the other thing too, is I think it, when you focus on the things that are most important, you will quickly realize many times you're like, man, I don't want to miss this. Like, this is so valuable. Like, there's no amount of, you know, money that's going to take the place of this. And you know, I'll tell you one of the best examples of this that I experienced. So I was invited for a private VIP dinner to go eat with John Maxwell. Like, huge motivator for me, huge, like, his books have been transformational in my leadership development. And I had monster trucks scheduled with my daughters that day, and I did not go, like, to the dinner. I went with my daughters to watch Monster Trucks versus John Maxwell. And that was the moment I'm like, wow, like, I would have like cut off my left leg.
Right, right.
A couple of years ago, right? And so we get to make these choices.
Yeah, and but you brought up a point though there, Wojo. You said it doesn't. It's something you have to continue to be intentional about. Yeah. So in the Life and Air community, you have these people that are like, because we all get distracted, right? Yeah. And we have so many different things that are clamoring for our attention. So what causes people, how do you continue the intentionality? What do you do to be able to continue? Because you can say right now, and people listening to the podcast now are going, okay, I'm dialed in. I'm gonna make sure some of those things that matter most aren't sacrificed by other things. So, but how do you maintain the intentionality?
Yeah. So there's two parts to that answer that I think are valuable in covering. First one is, like, you've got to really understand that this is not a dragon you slay once. It's and then life's good. Like, it is, it's the constant. It's like going to the gym. Like, how cool would it be, by the way, if you could go to the gym once and be jacked forever? That would be amazing, right?
Right.
It doesn't happen. It's just like that. And so it's a discipline you need to maintain. Now, one of the ways that I think that really helps you stay intentional with that is as you become better as being a business owner, you can frame your work. Like, one of the things I do, for instance, like, so I create a calendar. Now, this is an example calendar. It's not a rigid calendar that I follow every day, because that would drive me nuts. I hate have-tos in my life. But what I've done is I've taken everything off of my vision. Now, the vision is basically a term of like, how do I want my ideal life to look like? And so what I've done is taken everything off that vision and put it onto a sample template calendar. That's just an example. And I see how much time is left for work and when I'm going to work. And so as I have translated those things that are important to me into a real life calendar, because the other question people have is like, well, how do I actually do this? Well, this is how you do it. I see that I have between, like, you know, say 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. to work. Well, with that intentional time frame, with those boundaries, those guardrails up on each side of that, like, I have to attack that work with a diligence and a real discretion of what's most important, what's going to move the needle, that allows me that flexibility and freedom. And so it's a combination of really understanding the challenge you are going to be presented with over and over again, which is like, hey, do I keep working or do I focus on my things that I've identified as important to me? And then being better at a business, as a business owner, of really compartmentalizing your business into discrete, rigidly defended blocks of time, I think is part of the actual implementation of how to make this a reality.
Well, and I love that you bring up that example, because it's a difference. You know, when I get up and speak at conferences, well, Joe, I'll ask people, I'll say, there's only two ways to really operate in this world, strategically or opportunistically, right? Yeah. And so you are either clear on what you're going to do, or you're just kind of hoping that everything turns out well. And most people, and everyone will admit it, readily admit it at the conference, they'll say, yeah, I'm operating opportunistically.
Well, so Chad, check this out. Like, this is, here's one of the rubs with this. One of the very things that makes us good as entrepreneurs is the ability to spot opportunities. and so God clearly has a sense of humor here, because this opportunistic perspective is the very thing that can keep us from staying on track and getting the things done. So you have to temper it. You have to really, like, I think of it as like, you know, you're wielding like an incredible superpower that you have to really tame and use it to your advantage, not your disadvantage. Now, by the way, an opportunist, you can get lucky once in a while, but it's really the strategist who I feel is the person who can have sustained success and focus. Now, by the way, I'd also say that a strategist who can recognize opportunities that fit within the puzzle pieces of the strategy they're pursuing, that's very different than an opportunistic person who's just pursuing a bunch of different businesses, a bunch of different ideas, a bunch of different, like, kind of endeavors, because that the former is what will allow you to really double down and be more effective as a leader. The latter is what's going to keep you, like, spinning your wheels and keep you in quicksand, right? Because it's just you're too deluded.
Well, and what's been surprising to me, well, Joe, and I've shared this before, but it's surprising to me how many people don't really have that clarity of what they want their life to even look like.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure you've experienced super successful investors, people super successful in business life. And then you're like, what do you want things to look like? And they're like, I don't know.
So, man, when the most common answer I'll say, so what do you want your life to look like? They're like, well, you know, I want my house paid for. I want it, you know, I want a couple of cars. I want, you know, the college funds fully funded. I'm like, hold on. You're giving me your balance sheet. Like, that's not your life. Like, tell me about your life. Like, what do you want to do? How do you want your days to look? What's the kind of person you want to show up as? You know, what are your, give me your dreams, your aspirations, your goals, what do you want to, you know, have, do, be, see, like, experience, like, and so few people can really explain that with any level of clarity. And I understand why. It's because, like, I do believe it's hard for a couple of reasons. Like, number one, I think it's a lot more than sitting down for an hour, you know, one time and then having full clarity, because, you know, you've been walking the path, you've been walking 20, 30, 50 years, and you have, whether you've realized this or not, probably adopted some of the beliefs of the culture around you, the people you've looked up to, your family members. Like, listen, you know, I got a PhD, and part of the reason I got that was because, like, I was getting, you know, my family told me I should get an education if I wanted a great life. And, and I was getting all the pats on the back from, oh my gosh, you're a doctor now, and this and that. And that, but by the way, like, I wouldn't take it back, but, like, that was me being influenced by other people. And so we've all done that. So you got to kind of unplug yourself, quiet the noise, and figure out, like, what do in my heart, what do I really value most? And how do I want to live those values? And how are they going to show up for me? And that is hard. It takes time. It takes, again, like, you know, reversing some of that conditioning. And by the way, when I say conditioning, I'm not personally a conspiracy theorist or anything like that. It's just that most people are following a different path than the one you want to live. Hmm.
Right. Well, and you know what's crazy about what you just said is that that's the response that most people that can tell you, like, I want my house paid off. I want two cars. I want to be able to go on vacation. I want college funds. You know, they're even the minority because they've at least given it some thought.
That's true.
Then you take it a deep step further and you're like, okay, yeah, but what do you want your day to day to look like? What do you want? What do you want your weeks to look like? What do you want the rest of this year to look like? And most people, and you know what, you use the word condition, but most people over time have just been like, well, I don't know. I'm just going to kind of take what life gives me. Now maybe they won't say that, but that's what they kind of do.
Right. And I'm going to, you know, wait for retirement till someday when I'm going to start living my life. But what happens is, first of all, like the stats on the mortality stats after retirement are terrifying. Don't look at them.
Don't read those, Wojo. That's frightening.
But I think, listen, one of the reasons why that I believe that's a reality is because when you've worked your entire life and have put everything into a job and not prioritized and not identified the things that you love, you're lost. You don't know who you are. Your identity has been, you know, shed with your position, and you have an open calendar that now you're depressed and you don't know what to do. And like, you have no hobbies and you've lost touch with all the people you care about. Like, don't let that happen. Like, you can fix that all right now.
Right. That is exactly right. And so you're building your life. And for me, retirement's an interesting subject. Cause I'm like, if you love what you do, what are you retiring from?
I'm with you, man.
You know what I mean? It's 100%. Like, I people are always taken back and they're like, wait, you don't want to retire? I'm like, I hope not.
Never.
I mean, I hope I can continue to contribute. And, you know, one of the sharpest individuals I've ever met, he was the number one life insurance salesman in the 50s for New York Life. And I met him in like 2010. And he was like 90 years old and he was still writing life insurance. And he was 90 years old and he was so sharp. I was blown away. And, you know, I don't know if you've crossed paths much with Michael Gerber, but Michael's, I think he turned 90 this year. Wow. And he's really a sharp guy too, because he's, you know, stayed in the game.
And yeah, to your point, like, if you love what you do and your business is complementing your life, not consuming your life, why wouldn't you want to continue doing that? Like, I joke with my team. I'm like, guys, listen, I'm going to be up here when I'm 108 years old and I will have a cane and maybe I might even be wearing diapers for all I know, but I still want to be up here because I love this. And
right?
So like, it's just like, what? Yeah. And my hope is that everybody can experience that, because like, imagine what it's like to like work in something you love and feel rewarded and fulfilled by it. And it fuels and funds your life, and that they're complementary instead of competing with each other. You know, there's no friction. It's a seamless I mean, it's amazing. And I believe that everybody can accomplish this. I truly do. But you got to do things differently.
Well, that's a powerful phrase. Well, Joe, they complement rather than compete, because I think people think to themselves, they do have some competing aspects of their lives and they feel like they either are a good parent or a good spouse or a good partner, or they are a good business leader, you know, and that's competing. And I love how you use the word complement, that those areas of our life should complement each other. As I strive to be successful in business, it should make me a better husband and father, right? And so that's a powerful statement. So Wojo, as we wrap up here, if there's one thing, if someone, you know, someone's listening to the podcast and they're going, okay, I get this, but my life's been a little out of balance and I'm struggling here. If there's one thing that people can start to do to begin to have a more complementary life instead of competing life, what would you suggest?
My first piece of advice would be to absolutely create your vision. Like, create your vision for what success looks like for you, Because if we can agree that life should be better by having a business and not worse, which hopefully is the case, and if we can agree that the biggest purpose of your business is to support that life and to complement it, then we have to know what that life is going to look like before we have any chance of creating a business that can satisfy those requirements. And so really take the time to clarify that for yourself, because that is a stepping stone, I think, that everyone needs to start from in order to be successful with this.
I love that. I love that. And Wojo, do they make just one attempt at that? Because as you were sharing that, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if people are, you know, not dreaming as big as they could potentially dream, you know?
So it is a living, breathing document. You will have several different versions of it and it will improve over time. And sometimes it shifts based on life circumstances and condition. Maybe you're single and all of a sudden you get married and that might influence your vision and the kind of husband or wife you want to be. But it's also something I'd say there's no right or wrong way. Like, I've seen people choose extremely aggressive visions and that's how they're motivated. And that is what really gets them inspired and you know, waking up every day excited for what they get to do. And I've also seen people that create that first level of a vision that's really kind of just a step above where they are currently. And that's, to them, more motivating because it's more attainable and they see the finish line versus, like, you know, something really, really large. And so there's no right or wrong. But once you knock that first vision off and you're living it, then you can start to ask questions like, man, was I dreaming too small here? Was I kind of playing it safe? And you can start to ratchet it up from there.
I love that. And then really embrace and live in that and world where you can have the and, you know, great family and great business and all of the above.
Love
Whoa, Joe, your information content's phenomenal. It's so good. Lifeonair.com is the business, right?
That's it. Yep. Lifeonair.com.
Lifeonair.com. It's Jason Wojo. Thank you for spending this time with us. Thank you for sharing those insights so that everyone can live just a better life as they live a more balanced life and live in that and world. Thanks for being with us, Wojo.
Appreciate you, man.
Take care. Bye now.